Friends, this morning I'm turning to Psalm 25 and to verse 11. Psalm 25, verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And we are going to talk about forgiveness of sins. How we can have pardon for our sins. How do we approach God for our sins to be forgiven us? Let's remember that the purpose of Christ coming into this world was to have our sins forgiven us. It is not for material things, it is not for good health, all those things are part. But the main reason why Christ came is to die, that our sins will be forgiven us. So you can live in this world, you can attend church services, you can do everything. If you don't have your sins forgiven you, you will all be in vain. In the last day, Christ will tell you, go away from me, I don't know you. So it is very, very, very important that as we keep going to church, going and coming, we must make sure that there come a point in our life where we come to God sincerely for our sins to be forgiven us. Because that is the purpose. Because God is so holy. Not until your sins are cleansed from you, you can never, never get to God. You can do everything, sing, speak in tongues, do whatever. But in the end, Christ will say, I don't know you. So it is very, very important as we come. That is why in our church, we preach the gospel every Sunday and then teaching in the evening. Because without the gospel, without people's heart being changed, people will get deceived all the time. I don't know, some of you, if you listen to a program that one of our church members had with somebody on one of the radio stations. And the argument that people were making here and there, you can see that people are not concerned about their sin. People think one they can perform miracles, one they can do all sorts of things, they are okay to go to God. That is not true. That is never, never true. Look at what the psalm is saying. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. His main reason of praying is that his sins will be forgiven him. And we are going to know, how we can have our sins, the most effective way of approaching God for our sins to be forgiven. You remember, your worst can never, I've said already, your worst can never, you can be the kindest and the most merciful person on earth. If your heart has not been changed, you can never, never go near God. As we saw in our psalm, in our reading, let's just quickly turn to the hymn number 130. That we just think the version 2, thy pardon is a gift of love. Thy grace alone must save us. See, thy grace alone must save us. Our works will not our guilt remove. Our works, whatever we do, can never remove our guilt. That is exactly what the psalmist is saying here. No matter what you do, if your sins have not been forgiven you, if your heart has not been changed, it is useless. So the most important thing is pardon for your sins. That is why my title for this morning is Pardon for the Greatest Sinners. Pardon for the greatest sinners. The American say an opay, ye beg fayem and send panel free, and yum a dionum enum a nymwa a di dubakonoso. No see udin ti am a bonny chemi, it's a bonny song. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. The bonny song into our own funny the bonny and chemi. Now they make kaka when he says we are seeing say unu every person will be out of him. So on far born in chew. No on far born in chewa. You obey bia wa sorry munu a yekwa. But you never press all them, ube ti me cra a pitchy. But may be bia as yet this sound come on out with free Adam mobile na. Ubia ya wu we are seeing bia na free Adam by and what you are born in other. See and you sack money if you want my way in our kwa. Etina used to buy a no. In tea or decan or buy a party, say, or a free bonim. And yes, of me a ye, of me a dee, there be, and no come home with my yam out here. Never won't know, I'm not waiting up a basso. And he said, the bonny at you, the yam out at my foot. It is evident from this passage that we just read, Psalm 25, that when it was written, the person was in affliction. If you look at how he expressed himself, he was in affliction and danger. Especially if you look at the verse 15 and then the following verses. Because he said, my eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. It means he was in the net. He was in danger. The main question is, what is the question? So his distress make him think of his sins. It will have verse 7 also. Remember not the sins of my youth. After the bonfire cry a bizarre when the fatter or the bonny or ye no nequara brim. Also, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. And then verse 18, he said, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. On share any o kumuno, any a yawa o kumuno, no for the body in Nanchen. If you accept no o war and we him, or who saw him, what do you mean, baby? I saw young couple. And that is how we come to God. You must see yourself as in danger, that there's no hope for you anywhere. Unless you come to God. And mind you, when we are saying all these things, Christ can come even today. So not until you have done this. If Christ comes and you have never approached God in such a manner, you will never go to where he is. So it is very, very, very important. So we see in this the text, the argument that he puts for the pardon. Ubon said, okay, text me more. He pleads for pardon for God's namesake. Or see, in your namesake. He does not plead because of his righteousness. Mind you, on Kasebia, the papaya beer, or ain't he? And by bread, you say, tell the papaya, I just send the bunny away or before heaven. It is never like that. Papaya being a hornman by a vessel on your coin. I just want to hear to say, yes. So, with me, yes, I did. Fine. And then you go with me at the whole arc of heaven. You be as you are, you with me, yes, sir. To beat my for the end, can use to grant. So his argument is pleading for pardon because of God's namesake, not anything that he has done. If we are thinking about things that he has done, they are David. If we are thinking of righteousness, then we call him a man of God's own heart. He did a lot of good things for God, and yet look at his cry. He's pleading that his sin is so great. So, but he did not plead on his righteousness, but rather he begged that God would do it for his own name's sake because of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, and then for his own glory. Because when our sins are forgiven us, the glory of God shines. God is glorified because all God wants us is to be cleansed from our sins and to be reconciled unto him. So when that is done, God is happy. We hear that angels smile, they laugh when one sinner repents and turns unto God. So you see that he bears God for his own namesake and for his own glory. The glory of his free grace, and then for the honor of his own covenant. Remember, God signed a covenant with Christ. That is why Christ came to die for us. So when we are redeemed from the power of sin and death and Satan, God's covenant has been fulfilled, and then God will be happy. And let's see another term that David used. Or see, the greatness of his sin. The argument he's putting up, he's using the greatness of his sin as his reason for mercy. David, and Ne mo ne bone na eso nti ene nyankopon ehu ne bobo. Wan plead for onwakasa ne righteousness. And awakasa bia wo me bone wo die enso bia nti se Awurade ebufu me. He did not say that his sin is so small or he has a righteousness. Every sin, according to James, is a sin, no matter how small it is. It's a sin against God. So David pleads for mercy because of the greatness of his sin. The bonne soa esunti. And I'll see in funny bonne in gem. One can say, pardon my iniquity, for I have done much good to accept. Like I said, people think when they have done some good, when they are kind to people, like yesterday at where we went for a funeral, the man was talking about the woman's good that he has done. So people should watch that. It is fine to do good, but that can never take you to heaven, as we just read. It is only by grace, and your belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and confession of your sins to Him, not your goodness. If it's for goodness, even those who worship idols, they are very, very kind. But do you think they will go to heaven based on their kindness? No, because Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. So we can only go to God through the grace, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary. Not any good that you have done. For he did not say that, pardon my iniquity, for it is small, and you have no great reason to be angry with me. David didn't say that. He did not say, my iniquity is not so great. No. Once you were born in Adam, your sin is great as anybody. Don't think that things that people are doing, you could not have done it. You could have done it if it wasn't for the grace of God. So once we be for everybody, case you be a, to be a kumu be a, any pa mama. But now do more. Once we bet me a yes, because omo ana ye kumu yesu no mubu se no. There are people like us. The same people now yesu ba yesu ma no omo shi ana omo di palm trees shi ana omo ane so I can say crucify. So if your sins have not been forgiven you, if your heart has not been changed, it's a very serious thing. And you must take note that God will do this for you in your lifetime. He did not say that my sin is so small, so he can overlook it. God can never overlook sin. Nyakubon Jiminka said, oh, bani wodi enye boni bi enti mede wacho. We are also any nakoji nyakubon. Then he is not God. As we are going to learn later, he is a God of mercy and still a God of justice. His mercy and justice must work together before he will be God. Otherwise, he is not God. But he said that, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. So he pleads the greatness of his sin and not the smallest of it. Or it's not the point in the case here, so. And yet the case was so. Say, yeah, you find the point in church. And now they are enforcing the prayer. And that he said that his sins is terrible. And not until you see yourself as such. If you don't see yourself that your sin is so terrible, you can never go near God. All the time, I say to people, if you want to know how ugly and how terrible sin is, consider how God is dealing with sin. Some of you who said they are born So not until you see it as such, you will never be forgiven. You will never get the mercy of God. God is a merciful Father, we all know. But like all other promises of God, they have conditions. In the same way, this mercy can be granted to you when you know that your sin is so grievous and terrible and that you can never do anything about it. So let's see how King David, the reason why he pleaded like that. First, as I already said, is the greater the iniquity, the more his need of pardon. You see, you have to see how great your sin is, and therefore you have a need for pardon. It is like saying that, pardon my iniquity, for it is so great that I cannot bear the punishment of it. You see yourself that As for this, my sin that I've come to this world with, or the one that I've done myself, it is so great that if God were to punish me, I can't stand it. So I'm begging God to forgive me. That is how David is praying here. That is how we must all come to God. Know that your sin is so great, and therefore it deserves the maximum punishment, which you can't bear. And therefore, we are praying that God will forgive you. He said that my sin is so great that I'm not in need. I'm in need of pardon. My sin, my case is exceedingly miserable. Unless you are pleased to pardon me. No one said not seminary. I will who say me. He's in danger, a danger that unless God Himself comes, he can't do anything. It's just like a beggar who is coming to beg for food, for bread or something. He will plead on the greatness of his poverty and his hunger. He can't just come and say, "Send me a beggar to my miska," or maybe say, "Because of a common dinner." And you hear, and say, "Oh, auntie, me, oh, this guy, what are you doing?" It's of a bread, of a bissau. No one is doing it. The same way we should come to God, that because of our sin, God should forgive us. When a man is in distress, he cries for pity because his case is life-threatening. When you are in danger, let's say when you are drowning, you cry for help, isn't it? When you are, there's no hope. You know what? Once you go down the sea, that is the end of you. That is where you cry. And in the same way, you come to God knowing that your case is life-threatening. You will lose your life, you will go to hell if God doesn't come to pardon you. So God is moved to us. God's mercy is moved towards us by nothing in us except our miserableness. We are coupon ni mercy. And I say ne humo grono. They deserve it. No, because they need his pity. Because if you can't say that, "God, you have said that you forgive me, so forgive me," you must let him know that you need it. So he should pity you. So if we truly come to God for mercy, the greatness of our sin will be no impediment to pardon. Well, as I say, see, a banner, you put him a bit, this is for Bonifacia. A family, you're born in the Cassia TBR. Let me say, we're born in the Cassia T. Would you ever born in Chow? No. And you will call it Mayor Bonia Chow. So who said, we're born in a Cassia? Say, and no, say, you can say, we're born in a Cassino or off our born in Chowdia. And then, David would never, because David was a man of intelligence, and that he will never plead for pardon because of the greatness of his sin. Say, "Oh, born to be brave." Now, catching up for born in Chaudia, and then I can hear David, everyone by saying, "The born in KCNT, you have a funny born in Chen." But how, what do we see? Or see, because of the greatness of my sin. That is how we come to God. We should see our misery and be mindful of our need of mercy. To see whom. Ya real who are aye, any sensitive here on your coupon, ne mercy, and I said ne humo bro. Anypa omo gino, omo a bonny home, our name say, omo one misery, you know, they look to God for mercy. Say nipa bea no so, and that's where we are, and now she. Now we didn't that's where we are, dear, now she na coupon. That is how we are. When you are in trouble and you think maybe if you are broke, I know you have some money at the bank. You know, if I go to the bank tomorrow, I can get some money. But when there's no money anywhere, nobody bringing you money, then you look to God. And that is how it is. When you come, you want mercy from God, you must come in a way that God will see your miserableness, that you deserve it. So without misery, there cannot be any exercise of mercy. So, say, well, who knew? With TBR, mercy, and I say, more body, and you can go 18 in 5 mm. I just say, one cassa, who ban a hole, not over panicho, channel, or bunny and wire, and he said, "Your bonnet is soon out in your way into your own far over bunny chill." And you must be sensible that you are children of wrath. And so, one cassa who said, "Bonnie, I will be free at the mobile, any day, why ain't you know?" because that is what the Bible says. And then if you know this, and you know that the wrath of God is such that you can never bear it, then you come to God. Because God said he's angry with the sinners every day. When, if you are a sinner, God is angry with you every day. His wrath is upon you every day. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He's, when only say the wicked, we are talking about those who have not been saved. Those who have not been saved. Those who have not had their sins forgiven them. They are the ones that the Bible refers to as wicked. And such people, God is angry with them every day. And because human beings sin every day, the Lord has good reason to be angry with us every day. Because we sin every day. So the God of mercy, the God of holiness cannot say, even though we sin every day, he'll be angry with us some days, and then some days he'll be angry. He is angry with us every day. Many people think that God is so kind and so merciful that he will never send people to hell. Even some churches teach that God is a God of mercy, and therefore he cannot send people to hell. But they forgot that God's righteousness does not allow him, like I said earlier on, if God allows sins to go, then he's not God, then he's lying. Because he has said that he will punish sin. So if you say you will punish sin, and then you, the same God, say, because I love this person, they should go, then he's no more God. He's not the God of holiness and the God of justice. So he can never simply excuse sin. John chapter 3 verse 18 says, all sinners who do not believe on Jesus Christ as Savior will spend eternity in hell. Every day of their lives on earth, they are the objects of God's wrath. Every day, and then when we come to John chapter 3 verse 36, it assures us that he that believes on the Son of God has everlasting life. He that believes in Jesus Christ, that his death on the cross of Calvary is his only hope of his sin. Such people will have their sins forgiven them. And he said, those that believe not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on them. The two people, the believers and the unbelievers, the unbelievers will have the wrath of God following them every day, but those who believe in God will have everlasting life. So people, before we come to God for pardon, we must be sensible that it is a dreadful thing to fall into the wrath of God, or to have God as your enemy, because you can never bear the wrath of God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. When the Bible says a fearful thing, we can't even comprehend how fearful it is. But let's look back to what God has done in the past, and then we know how fearful it is to fall into the hands of God. They must also be sensible that the guilt of sin makes them miserable creatures. Before we come to God for mercy, we must be sensible. We must believe that the guilt of sin makes us miserable creatures. Whatever temporal enjoyment they have, that they can be no other than miserable. No matter, even if you think that in this way you are enjoying, because even though you are living a life of sin, everything is going on fine for you. No, don't rely on that. Know that God's anger is with you, and you are without strength, and you must perish, and that is eternal perish, unless God help you. Without God, you will perish eternally in hell, unless you come for help. Now, they must also see that the case is utterly desperate. You must see that your case is desperate, that you are in danger. As the same who said, Otibia woman, a danger. We need, and then that is where God will have mercy on them. And you must also know that your misery is eternal. It's in this world, it's going to continue. Even if you are not careful, you will be suffering in this world and then lose heaven as well. So it is not a small thing to not have your sins forgiven you. The second thing is that they might be sensible that they are not worthy that God should have mercy on them. You must also know that because of your sin, you are not worthy for God to be merciful unto us. Those who come to God for mercy come as beggars. As I said earlier on, beggars come and plead because of their poverty and their hunger. God should have mercy upon them. They don't come as creditors, as if God owes them. No, we should come that we rather owe God. So you come on this for the sovereign grace of God and not for anything that is due you. Because we are not due, even our life that we are living now, we are not supposed to live because of our sin. So when we come before God, let's express all these things to Him, for Him to know that we are really in need of mercy. That is the condition that God will show you mercy. Therefore, they must see that they deserve the misery and the wrath to which they are exposed. They deserve that God should be their enemy and should continue to be their enemy. You must know that because of your sin, God is your enemy and He continue to be your enemy forever and ever. It's not what tears here. It's not what money out of the mobile. Anybody who is here, you know. We are going to pay a temple. Now we are in the temple, so I could see a year. No, yes, we buy our side work up here. They must be sensible that it will be just for God, as He has threatened in the holy law. As the same who said, "Yango pon ebu phone e wosu no." Yadi as the same eba samba. They said, "Yango pon akam e wo nemranu." Say, "Enipa wa ni say, bra Adam, any Eve, or don't go to garden." No, kaji on say, "Se moye se ya mubewu." Yango pon akam to what? What akam to wosu no? As the same eba samba. So such people are objects of anger and then a curse in hell to all eternity. And hell is true. Let nobody deceive you that when you die it is finished. No. But the Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die once, after death there's judgment. Once God has said it, it is true. So those who come to God for mercy in the right honor are not disposed to find fault with His severity. Those who really want mercy, you can't say that God, if God punishes me, then He is not a just God because my sin is so small. No, they must come that you yourself, you are not worthy to come before Him. The third thing is that they must come to God for mercy in and through Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier on, Christ in John 14 verse 6 says, "I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one goes to the Father except through me." So we must also come through Christ, not through any other means. Otherwise, all religions, people think that no matter what your religion, once you have a good life, you go to heaven. No, you must come through Christ. Why must you come through Christ? The same Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that unless blood is shed, sin cannot be forgiven. So whose blood is cleansing you from your sin? It can only be the blood of Christ, because He is the only one whose blood is not tainted with sin. Every leader of any religion in this world, mention them, they were born from Adam. So their blood is tainted. The mechanic said, "Omwa, omo benya kupo onche so fa boni chom." He said, "Omo ba omo fa Yesu mko anso." He said, "What you mean ko fa obi anso?" If he said, "Babo no akati wose si enshie moje enwa boni fa chedi ho." Enti emoja na tete lepa oboni enema. Na ha moja ene lepa oboni enema. Ukofa Obia, Kofa Muslims leader Muhammad, Munia, the Omunina, your woman, if you add them, it's your Mojan, you know, Bonium, yet be part of Bonimo, yes, Unquana, or Mamma, any papa, any thing you send. It's any trace, Adam, Bonino, any anymore. It's not the Mojan, one beating every part of your body. So you can only come through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So our hope of mercy must be from the consideration of what He is, what He has done, and what He has suffered. All what Christ did on the cross of Calvary should be your only hope of mercy and nothing else. There's no other way that we can be saved apart from that of Christ. So people who come to Christ must believe that He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Like I said, He came to save us from our sins, that His blood cleanses us from all sins, and that He is so worthy that all sinners who are in Him may well be pardoned and accepted. It is so did say said the medical can yes unkuana and moja between a pa or boni and why. Na when ya adum any mobro ewo unya kupon any. It is impossible for anyone to come to God for mercy and at the same time have no hope of mercy. So we'll bang on coupon ho. Now we need a swap for Mabuhuna, who has a Mabuhun. He's a Mabuhun in Iowa Yesu. He's a Uti Yesu D. Now we'll bang your coupon him, now cast in tea, and far born in Chawa or born in the church. So coming to God in this manner implies that we have a hope of obtaining something that we could never have obtained from the law. We can only obtain from Christ. You must hope, you must believe in that, and then you have your sins forgiven you. If you come in that right manner and you have all your hope through Christ, or from the consolation of redemption and the sufficiency of it, he came to redeem us from the power of sin and Satan and death. And like I said, he is sufficient. If you read Hebrews, the whole of Hebrews is talking about Christ, his glory as compared to the law, the times of the law and the times of Christ. Christ is a better covenant. The first covenant, which is the law, nobody can follow. So a better covenant is Christ. So you must believe in that and come in that honor, in that order and in that manner, and your sins will be forgiven you. If sinners come to God for mercy in this manner, all the greatness of their sin will be no impediment. If you come to God, like I've said earlier on, in this manner, no matter how great, how big, how sinful, how ugly your sin is, God will forgive you. It will never let God say, oh, as for you, because of your sin, go away and I will never receive you. No. The mercy of God is as sufficient for the person of the greatest sins. Because his mercy is infinite, because God is forever and ever, his mercy is also forever and ever. The Bible tells you that God's mercy is forever and ever. It's not a mercy that will work for a while and then after some time it ceases. No, it's forever and ever. And because when we die, life goes on. You see, we live on and on and on. So we must have God's mercy forever and ever, that it will follow us. We must also believe that God, being infinitely great, he is as much above kings and is above all beggars. He is as much up against the highest and also against the meanest. God is above kings as well as beggars. He is above those who are the highest and those who are the meanest, those who are low, low, low. God is above every situation. Another reason that we come in this manner is that, like I said, Christ satisfies everything, and he is enough for the remover of the greatest guilt as well as the smallest sin. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, he says, the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And also in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, he says, by him, that is by Christ, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. As I said earlier on, in him you are justified. Justified means, even though you are guilty, because somebody has paid for your penalty, you are discharged. Like you go to court and then your charges are read, the judges sit down and say, this man is guilty, he must go for prison, or he must be condemned to death. But then somebody has paid for the penalty already, so the person is justified. You are justified because of Christ, not because of anything in you. So when you come to God, believing and trusting in Christ alone, be merciful unto you, and then you will be justified. The law couldn't have done that. The law says you must follow the law rigidly, religiously, one by one, every one of them, which because of the sin in us, nobody can do. So then you rely and trust only in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the sins of those who truly come to God for mercy, regardless of the gravity of their sins, are satisfied and are justified because it is God who says so. That is what God has said. That if you believe in my Son, your sins will be forgiven you. That's what he said in John 3:16. For those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God may also pardon the greatest sinners without any prejudice to the honor of his holiness. In this case, because of Christ, God will not say, because of my holiness, sin must be punished. That is what he has said. But because he's a God of mercy and then of justice, the mercy cancels, atones for the justice. Then he sent his own son. It is like, I have said that I will punish sin. But at the same time, I'm a merciful father. Merciful means I'm unable to forgive sins. But if I forgive sins without paying for, then I won't be just. So what I will do is that I will send my only son in the likeness of myself to come and bear the penalty. So once the penalty is born, it means sin has been dealt with, and then I will be justified. That is what we call about the mercy and the justice of God. Because of what Christ has done, the holiness of God will not suffer if he forgives sin. Otherwise, his holiness will be tainted if he doesn't deal with sin. That is why he sent God, Christ, to come to satisfy our sin for us. And because of that, God can now love the sinner. There's no way God can love a sinner whose sin has not been cleansed. He won't be holy. But then, because of what Christ has done, God can have love for sinners and draw us closer to himself. God's hatred for sin can be seen from the fact that he poured out his wrath on his own dear son. You see, like I said earlier on, you see how hateful sin is. For God to punish his wrath on his own son so that our sins will be forgiven us. So he took the guilt of us and billions of people. You can imagine one man's sin, two people, three, then billions of all believers. Our sins were compressed on Christ within 3 hours for him to bear it. So you see how ugly sin is. Otherwise, God would never have done that. So now, because of what God has done, like I said, his holiness stands, his justice stands, because he has paid for the penalty due to us. And when we come to God, we must come fully aware and mindful of this. And that is the only way we can have mercy of God. So then, he is a judge and is also a merciful God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23-26 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believe in Jesus. He must be just and also a justifier. He's a just God, and he justifies our sin through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary. So now, because of what Christ has done, the law has no impediment in the way of pardon. Even though God initially required that we obey the law for our sins to be forgiven, and because Christ has obeyed the law on our behalf, has paid for the penalty due to our sins, so the law now is not an impediment to the pardon of God. The American said, Onyankopon nanka oboye no osiye nim ra no so ansana etimi abane enim. Then so esan say boni e we money etimi eni so ntino oma yesu ebedim ra no so e ma e esa eje ye boni nyina esoi enu ntino se wo ba nyankopon nim se oma ehobobro na uji we nim na dia o le beto fi say yesu wo dim ra no so ama e. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. At the time, due for the time, what were you born? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The kumu was our cross, and you got here. You had the man who be our way, you born the cursed here. And so here my Jesus born in born in ti and you come no enugwasi wo no enti enugwasi nyina no wodi so amaye ama odi mbana so ma yintia ma ye ye boni pa chenti ye benyankopon ni mu a onyankopon edi beche. The third one is that Christ will not refuse to save the greatest sinners who in the right manner come to God for mercy, for this is his work. Yesu obie ne hono ma obeba nyankopon ni mu se de makan obeba se ne boni eso nyankopon ehu no bobo. Ah, Yesu beka se debi me fa boni nchew ari ntia se se din ti obe wi ase mu na me dika kan se din ti obe wi ase mu eye boni fa che na ari ntina din ti obe wi ase mu na obeka se se obi aba me fa ne boni nchew. No, it cannot be like that. His business is like a savior of sin. It is his work upon which he came into this world. This is the reason why he came, and therefore he will not object to it. He did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. So because of this, if you come, he will forgive. That is what Matthew chapter 9 verse 13 says. He came to save those who need his help. Sin is the very evil which he came into the world to remedy. The main reason is sin. He came to remedy from sin. And therefore he will never object to anyone that comes to him who sees himself as very, very sinful. So you see, the more sinful you are, the more you need Christ. And the more he has promised that he will forgive us. The sinfulness of man was the reason of Christ coming into the world. This is why in Matthew chapter 9 verse 12 he says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Omo a omo yare no omo ihia doctor. Aje so omo yare. Nta je so hu se o yare. Asana Yesu e ba o ba e no e hu be ba e faso ama. The fourth reason why you will not be thrown away is that the glory of grace is exhibited. You see, the whole setup of the way of salvation is for the glory of God through his grace. Yes, ba ba ye ene owo owo ye ni nyaa no de tipa e di kan se nyankopon ene mo nyam bede through adomo a odi edon ye na me di kan me kan se se oboni fo ba ko se san angels in heaven are happy and they smile. So God will have his grace glorified when our sins are forgiven. So for that reason, he will never refuse anyone who comes into him in the right manner that he is in need of his help and he should help him. God, right from the beginning, he had this in his heart that he will glorify this his attribute. He's a gracious God. That's one of the attributes of God. So God's attributes must be glorified when sinners are forgiven. In Romans chapter I've forgotten the verse, but it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The more our sin, the more our grace. You see? But then Paul asks, so does it mean that we should sin more so that grace abounds more? He said, no. But once we sin and we know that our sin is great, the greater the sin, the greater the mercy and the grace that God gives us. Apostle Paul, when he was talking about his pardon in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he talked about his sin, that he is not worthy. And that is why when we pray that we are not worthy to have God's sins, to come before God, because God is a holy, holy God. And Apostle Paul knew that he was so sinful that there was no need for him. So he talked about how Jesus is glorified because he is full sufficient to redeem those who are exceeding sinful, those who see their sin. And that's how Paul saw himself. He saw himself that his sin is so great that once God or Christ forgives him, then God is glorified. So it is the honor of Christ to save the greatest sinners when they come to him, as it is for a physician. You know, our doctors, when you come with a very painful or a sickness that is very serious and they are able to cure you, they are also happy that at least they have saved a life. How much more Christ himself, when you come and you come in the right manner and he saves you, he will be happy that your sins are forgiven you. And another, the fifth reason is what David has said. He said, mercy is offered and promised when we see ourselves as great sinners, but not as small sinners. So once you come and you see yourself, then pardon for sin is always good. Because the invitation of the gospel is always universal. Because he said, everyone that thirsteth, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and whatsoever will, let him come. All these things are promises that anybody who comes in that manner will be forgiven you. So Christ will not say all these things, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and then whosoever will, let him come. And the voice of wisdom is to men in general. Proverbs 8 verse 4 says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Not to moral men or religious men, but to you, O men. So Christ promises that those who see their sins are the ones that the mercy is for. And then John 6 verse 37 says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ cannot say all these things, and then when we come to him, he will drive you away. He said, those who come to him, he will in no way cast them out. But you must come in the right way. You must come in the way that God has directed. Even when Christ was sending his apostles in Mark 16, where people are always using to defend themselves against signs and miracles, they don't know who Christ was talking to. If you go to Mark 16, you see that he was talking to apostles, those that he was sending. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This was confirmed by Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 verse 3. The gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. This saying here, that's not my subject. Otherwise, I will also take time to explain to you that when he said those who will believe, he was not talking about every person who will believe. Otherwise, why is it that even in the churches where they perform miracles, it's not everybody that perform miracles. It's only a few people. He was talking to the apostle who did not believe. When he came back to life, some did not believe. So he told them who believed that they should go and preach. So those who will believe, because the signs that he said will follow them, who did they follow? They didn't follow every believer. They followed only the apostles. They were the only ones who performed those signs and wonders. This is what people don't understand. And then they say that anybody who will believe will perform miracles. If that is the case, then everybody in the church is a believer, and therefore they must all perform miracles. And when you go to the churches, is it everybody who perform miracles? No. So that is not the meaning. He was sending them to people who understand their need for repentance and turn unto God. But those people who within the apostles who did not believe, when they believe, these miracles will follow them. Not to be followed by everybody. So now, as we come to conclusion, it means you must come to God as a patient comes to his physician. You know, when you go to hospital, you go and tell the doctor what is happening to you, the symptoms, then he will be able to determine what is your problem. You don't go to any doctor and tell him that I'm suffering from malaria. You will see what he will tell you. You ask him, how did you know? So you go and tell them your symptoms, and then they will decide what is causing the symptom. In the same way, you come to God that you are a miserable creature. You are in deep distress. So God should have mercy on you and pardon and forgive you. Spread all your wickedness before him and don't plead for your goodness. Never tell God that, oh, as for me, I've not done this. Let God know that you see yourself as a miserable person. You are in danger of God's wrath. You are in danger of hell. And you know that you can never bear it. And that is why you are coming to God. Let's see what David said again as we come to conclusion. He said, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Come to God in that way. Tell God that your iniquity is great. Your sin is great. You can never bear it. You are pleading that God himself will pardon you and forgive you. And then, as God has said, he's a God who cannot lie. And like Christ said in John 6:37, those that come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. He will forgive you and pardon you and make you a son of God and then an heir to the throne of God.